Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Well, it's officially our first Sunday since September 1st without football. That doesn't mean it has to be your first Sunday without Prize Picks. So let's make it an epic day of winning. And before we get our selections in, let's just remember that you can download the Prize Picks app and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. So here it is. Here are my picks for Sunday. I'm going to go against Milwaukee on this Sunday. It pains me to do so, but I'm going with Jaren Jackson Jr. from Memphis to have an epic day. I think he's going to clean up on the glass, tons of rebounds. I'd also expect a good chunk of blocks from Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. I'm also going to be shorting Giannis Antetokounmpo a little bit. Listen, with Jaren Jackson Jr., Zach Edey, and Memphis's slew of big men, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher than normal for Giannis to dominate inside like we're used to. All right, switching gears, let's go to Detroit, Chicago. I'm going to go with Cade Cunningham to have a massive day against Chicago, as Cunningham will be celebrating his recent All-Star nod. Plus, Chicago is getting ready to basically sell their entire team at the trade deadline. I expect Detroit to be focused. I'm not sure Chicago is going to be quite as focused. So Cade Cunningham, huge day for him. And then finally, I'm going with Evan Mobley to dominate in the paint against the Mavs. He's due for a big points plus rebounds game. So that's what I'm going to be shoving in there. So the four I'm going with: Jaren Jackson, epic day against Milwaukee, a tough day for Giannis. I'm going to go with Cade Cunningham to have a huge day against Chicago. And then finally, Evan Mobley to dominate inside against the Mavs. As always, there are a ton of amazing options out there for this week's slate of games, so there's no reason to not get in on the action, even though there's no football to watch. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You do not even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. Thank you so much, as always, for being here. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. I know I say that, but all you have to do is literally hit that little like button or that thumbs up button, and it does help the podcast a ton. So make sure to do that if you get a chance. Today, we are going to be talking about DJ Reed, and does he make a great fit for this Packers defense? He is one of the biggest free agents that are out there and is going to be one of the highest paid free agents that probably comes out of this class. So today we will take a look at if he fits this Jeff Hafley defense and if it would be wise for Green Bay to make a run at him. I saw a couple people interact the other day when I posted some videos of DJ Reed saying that this is their number one free agent target for Green Bay. So we'll kind of break it down today and see if it does in fact make sense for the Packers, or if this is another one that is a good player that doesn't quite make sense. We'll break that all down. Before we get there, a couple pieces of news and notes. I am still a little bit shocked at the moment because Luka Doncic just got traded to the Los Angeles Lakers right before I'm recording this. Now, this is a Packers podcast and a football adjacent podcast, right? So we're here to talk football. We're here to talk Packers. I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about basketball here. The only reason I even bring it up is A, because I'm still in shock, and B, because I think this is bordering on one of the craziest, most out of nowhere, stunning trades in the history of sports. And I get we can always be prisoners of the moment, and everything that happened right now is the biggest and craziest thing that's ever happened. But this one is definitely, in terms of shock and awe, just out of this world. So much so that when Shams, the foremost NBA expert, tweeted it out that Luka Doncic had been traded to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, my reaction and pretty much everyone's reaction was, oh, he got hacked. Like, this is clearly not real, and we're not falling for this. The first reaction, at least for me, was like, all right, who is pretending to be Shams? But it was odd because it was an alert that came up, because of course Shams, I have alerts on for Shams. So it was an alert that came up. So I'm still like triple checking, like there's an extra digit, or like the A is like an at sign, or like what's going on here? And then the next reaction was, oh, he got hacked. Like, nothing said like, yeah, this is real. And even as I was talking about it, like, people were defiant to the point of like, this is clearly not a legitimate trade. And it was. And I think it, again, is one of the most shocking trades in sports history. You try thinking of it from an NFL standpoint, like the Ricky Williams one, if that happened today, where if you were to give up an entire draft class plus for a running back in today's NFL, it would be the most stunning. Like the GM should get fired on the spot for something like that happening in the modern NFL. That would be insane. And that certainly was even insane at the time. You have the Herschel Walker trade. I would actually argue to this day, and I know it doesn't get talked about, especially because it worked out in a ridiculous way. If Twitter were around when Ron Wolf traded a first round pick for Brett Favre, that would have been akin to after Johnny Manziel is like, you know, a couple of years in the NFL, had completely fallen out of favor in Cleveland and was having massive issues off the field and showed no signs of being a good NFL quarterback. I know Favre only had the 1 year, but he looked awful when he was in there in preseason. Like he had the immediate pick six the first time he got into a game and they hated him in Atlanta, like the Jerry Glanville, and they could not stand the guy, like was the party boy off the field. And like, literally the medical staff told Ron Wolf that they think he's only going to be able to play 2 or 3 years because of the injury issues that he had. I think it was a car accident, if I remember correctly. All of it, it would have basically been like they traded a first round pick for an injured Johnny Manziel after he had failed out of Cleveland. It almost akin to that. And so I still go back to that and saying like what Ron Wolf did in that situation was insane. And the fact that it ended up working out as well as it did and completely turning this franchise around is to some extent absurd. But what just happened with Luka for Anthony Davis is, I think, on a level that we maybe have not quite seen before, certainly in the NFL and even in the NBA where you get big trades like this. This one was an absolute stunner. And one just adjacent conversation I'll have really quick on this is that I do wish the NFL had a little bit more of this. And I'm not saying that I want it to be where you get these big superstars being traded between teams every single year because they want out and want to go to a different team. I'm not saying I need that level of drama and or mass craziness between, you know, swapping quarterbacks every, like, I don't quite need that. But I do think it would be fun from time to time if there were some of these superstar trades player for player that happened a bit more often. We just don't see them. It's really, really difficult with contract structures the way that they are. I wish the NFL would look at something like that to make it so that it would be more fun. If you're like the NFL and you're looking to always get a few more eyes on you and more attention, you should want more trades like this. Like the Luka trade with Anthony Davis. Like, look at it. Have we ever talked about an NBA trade here ever before? Like, I think one of the only times I've talked NBA is when the Bucks won the NBA Finals. I took one night off because I didn't have any voice, and I just basically said, today we're celebrating the Bucks. And like, I did like a 10-minute episode of talking about being at the game. I think that might have been pretty much like the only time that we've talked about NBA on here. And we're talking about it today because it was that big of a deal. So if the NFL, in the interest of always having more eyes and conversation about the product, would like to open up even more of that, I mean, the trade deadline in the NFL is like a fart in the wind. Whereas the NBA, we've already seen Luka for Anthony Davis, and this next week is going to be extremely unpredictable. And there's probably going to be multiple big trades. De'Aaron Fox might get traded. Jimmy Butler might get traded. You might see Zach LaVine get traded. Like, there could be a variety of huge moves coming up in this next week. And there's a lot of eyes and anticipation on that. And the NFL just never quite gets to that level when it comes to trade. So like I said, as a slight adjacent conversation to it, I would love to see a few more trades like this and the NFL making it a bit easier from a contract swap standpoint to make these deals a bit more attainable. But right now they're just not, and you don't see many of them. And I do wish that was a little bit different from an NFL standpoint. Again, not all the way NBA. We don't need to go fully there, but yeah, I would love to see a little bit more of that. All right. The only other piece of news that I have before we get to DJ Reed and whether or not he'd be a fit in Green Bay, Mark Murphy posted in his five things on, I forget which day he put it out this week, but he was talking about the tush push and said, I am not a fan of this play. There's no skill involved in it. Almost as an automatic first down on plays of a yard or less. The series of plays with the Commanders jumping off sides in the NFC Championship game to try to stop the play was ridiculous. The referee even threatened to give the Eagles an automatic touchdown if the Commanders did not stop it. I would like to see the league prohibit pushing or aiding the runner on this play. That used to be a rule prohibiting this, but it is no longer enforced because I believe it was thought to be too hard for the officials to see. The play is bad for the game, and we should go back to prohibiting the push of the runner. This would bring back the traditional QB sneak. That worked pretty well for Bart Starr and the Packers in the Ice Bowl. Not actually a traditional QB sneak because it was a called run play and Bart Starr took it on his own, but I digress. I am in agreement here with Mark, and I'm not going to die on this hill. I don't really care all that much. I only care enough to bring it up for about a minute here and just say, I do think I've seen enough of it. It's not why we show up to the games. It's not a play that you are going to replay because it's a spectacular play. You're not going to go to the stadium and be like, oh, did you see that tush push we got to see today? It's a mostly nondescript, boring pile of humanity. It's tough to judge if somebody got a first down or not. I can tell you that from the Bills Chiefs and AFC championship game. I wish it was a little bit different. I don't know what they do. I guess you could, again, prohibit the pushing of a player. I don't think it's that hard of a thing to sort of referee in that situation. I don't know. Whether they do something or not remains to be seen. My guess is probably not. But if it were up to me, I'm kind of with Mark on this one. I would like to see it out of the game and go back to maybe a little bit more traditional football. The best way to stop it from happening is for the defenses to get just basically go on a run of stopping the play to where it's no longer a good enough play to call, kind of like the wildcat that was in vogue for a while, and then teams figured out how to stop it, and then now you rarely ever see a wildcat play. You want it out of the game, figure out how to stop it consistently, and it'll go out of the game on its own. We'll see if that can happen, or if it is this unstoppable play that is just going to be in the DNA of football for the foreseeable future until they decide to change the rule, if they decide to change the rule. So I'll have to say on that, I'm probably never going to bring it up again, but for now, I'm in agreement with Mark Murphy. Would like to kind of see it out of the game if possible. Let's get to DJ Reed. Does he make sense for Green Bay? Is he a player that they should go after? Per PFF, he is the sixth best available free agent on the market, so this would be a pretty big move for the Packers. Let's talk about what the cornerback room looks like right now and why this would potentially make some sense for Green Bay. Your corner room, let's start with the back end of the room. There are four players: Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, Isaiah Dunn, and Caleb Hayes, that are on the very back end of this roster. And what I will tell you is that these players are not in the mind of Brian Gutekunst when you go into the offseason. Anything you get out of any of those players is a bonus. So I don't think that they are even factoring into Goody's plans in one way, shape, or form, and they should not factor into his plans at all. This should be something where you're just going into the offseason thinking you have Carrington Valentine, you have Keyshawn Nixon, you have Jair Alexander, you have Javon Bullard who can play in the slot, and that's it. No other corners. You have four back of the roster guys that if you get something out of any of them, it's a net positive. And then, of course, the big question after that becomes, what are you doing with Jair Alexander? And the belief is, from pretty much everyone who covers the team, beat writer or analyst or whatever, it seems to be that the consensus of that Jair Alexander is going to be gone. The question remains is, do they get something in a trade or did they just release him outright? That is the remaining question. It's not impossible that he could be back. It's not written in stone. Crazier things have happened. I would not fall out of my chair if we all of a sudden found out that Jair is back in Green Bay. But again, the overarching thought process seems to be is, do they release him? Do they trade him? But he's probably going to be gone from the team, which leaves you again with Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, and then Javon Bullard, who can play in the slot, but is kind of that safety slot corner hybrid player. You need some juice. You need some flexibility. You need some competition and depth in that corner room. And certainly somebody like DJ Reed would give you that. And we'll talk about all the pros and the cons that he would bring to the team if Green Bay did decide to go in that direction. But clearly, corner is one of those needs on this team right now. And you might say, well, they have Nixon and Valentine. I don't know that anyone's making a very strong case of like, hey, you have Nixon and Valentine with Bullard in the slot. You're 100% good to go. The position doesn't need to be addressed at all. You would love to see somebody come in and provide competition for really all of those spots and may the best man win and may the best three guys be out there. But for now, it's sort of set kind of the way it is, it seems, with Valentine, Nixon, and Bullard. But again, you would love a lot more competition in that room. That's why it would make sense for Green Bay. Why would it make sense for DJ Reed? Well, I think, first of all, this is going to come down to dollars and cents per usual. If Green Bay is the highest bidder, then yeah, that he's going to be interested in Green Bay. But outside of that, if we take that away from it, he is, I'm sure, going to look at the defense and the scheme and say, yep, I could fit in that. I think he'd fit very well within Jeff Hafley's defense. I think what Jeff Hafley was able to do a season ago as defensive coordinator, if I were a defender, that would certainly catch my eye a little bit. And again, you're going to a perennial playoff contender that has Super Bowl aspirations. I think that would be something that would be of benefit if you are a DJ Reed and looking for a new team, especially when you are a top 10 free agent on the market. From a contract standpoint, here's what we're probably looking at. As mentioned, PFF's sixth highest, or not highest graded, but highest available free agent on the market. Their estimate for him, 3 years, $42 million, $27.5 million guaranteed at $14 million per year. I think that sounds just about right. If you look at Kenny Moore last year, 3 years, $30 million for Kenny Moore at age 28. DJ Reed's going to be 29 this upcoming season. He's 28 right now. He'll turn 29 in November. It feels pretty similar to that. And now Reed plays on the outside, Moore plays on the inside, and outsides usually get paid a little bit more. So that 3 years, $14 million per year sounds just about right from PFF. I think at most he's probably looking at 3 years, 45 or 3 years, 48, $15 to $16 million per year. But I think 14 again is right about spot on from PFF. So I would expect about 3 years, $42 million, $27.5 million guaranteed. I am in lockstep with PFF on this one. Statistically, played in 14 games this past year, had 14 starts, 64 tackles, 11 pass breakups, no picks, no forced fumbles, four tackles for loss, and one quarterback hit. That was his box score, if you'd like to box score scout this thing. Per PFF, he was targeted 60 times, gave up 35 completions, only a 58.3% completion percentage, 431 yards, 12.3 yards per catch, two touchdowns, no interceptions. They only credit him with seven pass breakups instead of 11, so a little bit different there. Had a 91.7 passer rating, but 11 penalties. This was something that showed up on tape a lot. We will talk about it, but remember, he played in 14 games. He had 11 penalties of the pass interference, holding, or illegal contact varieties. So a lot of penalties on tape and according to PFF here as well. Now, his grades this past season, he had a 71.8 run defense grade, 64.3 tackling grade, 71.8 pass rush grade, and 70.1 coverage grade. So good across the board. His overall grade was 70.7. And his PFF grade by year, talk about Mr. Consistency, 70.7, 77.9, 72.5, 78.6, 75.2, 75.1, and 66.5 in his rookie year. He's just been the same guy basically since day one and since recently in the 70s every year besides his rookie year. And it's kind of crazy that he's never higher, he's never lower. He's just that dude every single year. And his scouting report really, really matches that to a T. Speaking of which, let's go over just some basics and then the positives and the negatives. As I mentioned, he will turn 29 in November, 5'9", 188. If you are new here, that may not mean anything to you. If you are familiar with what Green Bay likes at corner, that will immediately give you some cause for concern as to whether or not Green Bay would actually go after DJ Reed or not. 5'9", 188 is not within Green Bay's wheelhouse more often than not. And some of the deficiencies of 5'9", 188 definitely will show up on tape as well. And we'll go over those in the negatives in just a moment. Relative athletic score coming out of college, which is long enough now that it really doesn't matter anymore, but he was a 6.58 guy coming out of college from a relative athletic score standpoint, ran a 4.51 40-yard dash, did have really good agility testing, and that definitely did show up on tape. From a positive standpoint, we kind of talked about it, but Mr. Consistency. And if I didn't even know the grades or look at it from a 6-7 year period of time, just watching his tape this year, I would have guessed that it probably would have been something similar to that, because he is the same dude game in and game out, plays the game the right way, rallies to the football, does everything he's supposed to, is where he's supposed to be. He is a pretty big picture of consistency. Never too high, never too low. Isn't usually going to do anything phenomenal. Isn't usually ever going to do anything catastrophic. He is just right there, Mr. Steady Eddie. And that's exactly what you're going to get out of him. Game in and game out, play in and play out. That is who he is. He fights for everything. Some of the adjectives that I wrote down while watching him: scrappy, pesky, annoying, feisty. He is that type of guy. He's the type of guy that if you are a wide receiver, you look across from you and you're like, I'm going to own this guy all game long. And then you get to like the third quarter of this game and you're like, I never want to see this guy ever again. This is the most annoying player that I've played against probably all season long. He's just annoying if you're a wide receiver and you think you're going to beat him and you look at him and he's not the fastest dude in the world. He's small and you're just looking and you're like, I can toast this guy, and you can't. And it's so frustrating. And he does all the little things. He's going to grab you a little bit here and there, which is why he gets the 11 penalties. He's going to fight you for everything. If you try to block him, he's going to try to run through you, even though he shouldn't be able to. It's just annoying to play against him, and he brings exactly that mentality to the table. He's primarily an outside corner, and this past year was primarily a right outside corner, but he can play left, right, and while he hasn't done a ton of slot work, he should be able to play there a little bit more, especially in coverage. I think it's probably kind of going back to that Jaire Alexander conversation of like, how much do you want this 5'9", 188-pound guy in the slot? Like, he's going to get beat up and he's not going to be able to hold up against the run. So you probably can't do a ton of it, but on obvious passing downs, he's totally fine in the slot. He attacks everything. He's super aggressive, rallies to the football, hustles on every play, plays the game the right way, brings the right energy to the defense. Like, he is a energizer. You will feel his intensity and his energy out on the field, and it is definitely contagious as well. He's solid in everything that he does. Against the Vikings this past year, was targeted seven times, two catches, 16 yards, one pass breakup against Jefferson and Addison. Now, he did have two pass interference penalties against Justin Jefferson on the day as well, so those count also, but two catches, 16 yards against that very potent Minnesota wide receiver core and offense. Not the worst case scenario in the world. And again, did have the two PIs, but a pass breakup and only two catches for 16 yards allowed. Those are a lot of the positives. The negatives is that he is over-aggressive at times, and I'm talking about coming up to make a play or maybe jumping a route. What happens is he is so fast, so downhill, and that's just the mentality that he plays with, is that he will go in that direction, and then he's, you know, balls to the wall, and then if all of a sudden it's something different, because he's going so fast downhill, it's hard for him to change directions and kind of get to where he needs to go sometimes. He's a good change of direction guy in general, but because he's sort of going aggressive in one direction, it can be hard to stop on a dime and get back going the other way. So a little bit over-aggressive. I still love the way that he plays and the mentality in which he plays with, but sometimes it definitely does border on over-aggressive. Listen, bigger players are going to give him trouble. Bigger wide receivers, Juwan Jennings, you know, 15-yard route, cuts in, boxes out, plucks the ball. Nothing DJ Reed could have done about it. And then Anthony Richardson, quarterback, just runs him over on his way to the end zone. The deficiencies in size are going to catch up to him from time to time. He does everything he can to mitigate it, but there's only so much you can do. You know, when there's a pulling guard or a tackle to the outside, he's going to try to throw his body at it, and they're just going to basically kind of swat him away like a fly. Teams will run at him. They will run wide receiver screens at him. Now, he does his best to fight through those things and get in the backfield, and he will make plays from time to time, but teams see him out there and they will go after him, and it will be a problem when you get matched up against bigger players. Marvin Harrison Jr., corner route, easy touchdown because, again, he just didn't have the size to go and compete with them at the catch point. Those can be definitely issues from time to time. Penalties, the yellow flags are a major red flag, basically one per game. I mean, he played in 14 games this past year, had 11 penalties. And sometimes you would point to it and be like, yeah, some of those maybe could have been. I would actually watch his tape and say he actually probably could add like 20 of them and maybe more. And sometimes there's like a little bit of like, hey, how many times are they going to call you for it? See, I might get one pass interference penalty per game, but I'm going to get away with a bunch of stuff the rest of the game because they're not just going to keep flagging me on it every single play. And sometimes come playoff time, you need some of those guys. They don't call it quite as much. And he knows the little tricks of the trade, but it does definitely catch up with him. And 11 penalties is a lot of penalties. Does play a little bit too high at times, which is kind of funny since he's 5'9", but he gets a little bit too straight up, and then it's difficult to flip those hips with ease. And when you need to flip those hips and run with a wide receiver, it can be a problem. He has good makeup speed. Like, he actually looks a little bit faster than 4'5", I would say. But overall, that can be a bit of an issue in those transitions. Tackling against bigger players can be a problem, as we talked about with Anthony Richardson. Needs to do better in extended play situations. Will get lost from time to time. And I don't want to say he doesn't give up on the play, but I think he almost gets a false sense of security of like, oh, the play's got to be over by now. And again, just kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And then sometimes he does have a propensity to give up big plays in those situations. I would also say that there's not an A-plus aspect to his game. He's a little bit of a jack of all trades, but master of none. He's not a great tackler. He's not a great pass defender. He's not a good blitzer. There's nothing great about his game. He's good to really good at everything, but great at pretty much nothing. And to kind of go along with that, not a playmaker. He's played 7 years in the NFL. He has 6 total interceptions. He has 2 total sacks, 4 forced fumbles. So you're talking about 12 big-ish plays with sacks, forced fumbles, and interceptions in 7 seasons. Not a ton, you know, again, less than an interception per year, basically a sack every, 3 years, a forced fumble every other year. Like that's what you're talking about for DJ Reed. It's not this big playmaking corner that's going to be around the ball and ball hawking. You're not getting that out of him. So would this be a Green Bay type of move? Should Green Bay sign him? When I keep talking about where there's not a 1A player to go after in this class, this is sort of the perfect epitome of that. It's the exact definition of that. He is a good player, and he is a really good player. And I don't want to take anything away from DJ Reed, but he is 29 years old. He's on the shorter side. He's on the lighter side. He is not a playmaker. He has a lot of penalties. There's deficiencies in his game, and you're going to have to overpay to get him because he is, you know, PFF, I think, is arguably correct that he might be the sixth best player that's out there in free agency. That's not a definition of a Xavier McKinney. That's not a definition of some of these great running backs that were available last year. Like there were some really big time players available in 2023, or sorry, in 2024. You're not seeing it in 2025. And because of that, with all the money that is out there to spend, somebody like DJ Reed is going to probably get pretty significantly overpaid. And if I'm Green Bay, I'm not sure I want to be the team that does that. Add on top of that, that again, he's a little bit older than your current core of your team, and he doesn't fit the height, weight, speed thresholds. I just don't see this one necessarily happening really at all. In fact, I would be pretty shocked if this one happened. If Jair is back, it's a complete no. You're not going to have Jair and DJ Reed. DJ Reed could theoretically be a Jair replacement. There are some similarities there. Like the players that came to mind when I watched DJ Reed was like, take Keyshawn Nixon and Jair Alexander in his prime and meet right in the middle of that. Like that is DJ Reed. He's not prime Jair. He's better than Keyshawn, but split the difference right in the middle. And that's the DJ Reed. That's the player that you would bring to Green Bay. And I think you could probably play DJ Reed on the outside and, you know, Keyshawn Nixon on the outside and, you know, certainly, you know, put Carrington in there from time to time and Javon Bullard in the slot. But that's again, you're going to pay 14 mil per year, or if not more, for that type of player. And I just don't think that that is going to be Green Bay's cup of tea. And when you talk about Goody, if I told you that Goody signed a 29-year-old or going to be 29-year-old, 5'9", 188-pound, non-elite athletic, non-elite corner, and paying him a ton of money in the process, that's just not Goody, right? Just not Goody. I would be shocked. I think it's extremely unlikely that he would be a Green Bay Packer based on what we've seen Green Bay's tendencies to be at that corner position. So I'm going to say a pretty solid no on this one. And you might be saying, Andy, everyone's a no. They're going to spend on somebody. You're right. You're right. I don't know who that is quite yet. And somebody was asking me on Blue Sky of like, hey, are you going to put together your ultimate want list at the end of this? I am. And Khalil Mack is clearly, you know, one of the guys that I've gone to bat for already. And again, that kind of just goes to show you what you're looking at from this free agent class, where he is a 34-year-old pass rusher slash defensive end who's still playing really, really well. But that is another big question mark slash red flag, even with him. And if that's the guy that we're going to bat for in a, you know, in this sort of situation, it just kind of again shows you what's out there, or maybe more specifically, what's not out there for Green Bay to go get. That's why, again, if you're going to spend a lot of money this free agency, you have to be careful. And it's why I keep saying over and over, you can look at the free agency list all you want, and there's just not that guy that stands out the way that Xavier McKinney did a season ago with the position, the high-end athleticism, the player that you want at the position that you need, at the age that you want. All of it was perfect. It was like every box checked for Xavier McKinney. And this time around, it's like there's like two red flags that would make you go, all right, Packers are probably not interested in that player. DJ Reed falls within that category. If it happened, if he was added to the team, again, you are getting a very good corner added to this roster. You're not going to get a great corner. You're not going to get a true number one shutdown type of corner, but somebody that would certainly help Jeff Hafley and give him a little bit more flexibility and adaptability in this defense. But again, I would be pretty stunned if DJ Reed was the answer for what Brian Gutekunst is looking for in free agency. So my ultimate answer here is a no. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Key, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.